storms are inevitable. Storm clouds of betrayal, rejection, temptation, depression, war, illness, loss, and death are raw elements of living in this beautiful yet broken world. But how will you handle the thunder, lightning, wind, and waves when they come crashing down upon your life? Let us enter the Book of Psalms. Together, we'll discover a pathway to praise through the storms of life.
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day, dads. It's a rainy day, but it's a good day to be together to worship Jesus Christ, isn't it? Isn't it? Let's pray together as we approach God's Word. Oh, our glorious God. Our King is coming. We just sang about that. That was a shout of truth, and Lord, that rings true in our hearts right now. We pray to you with praise. Our God is mighty. Our God is great. Our King is coming. Lord, we pray that we would approach your word with humility, with openness, with hearts submitted to your word, and with gladness because of the grace that you've poured out on us, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have received this access to you and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, who gives us illumination to bring understanding to us so that we can understand your scriptures, your plan for our lives. So God, guide us, oh Father, to worship you around your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, guys have a certain phrase that they throw around about certain men who seem to have it all together. You know, I'm talking about the guy with big biceps, chiseled abs, a great career, a muscle car in the garage, and he can still pole vault and do the Ironman triathlon. That kind of guy, you know? And so, guys, we have this phrase that we use about men like that. We say, "You're the man," right? Or, "You the man." I've heard Keegan shout that around the office. I don't know who he's talking to. "You the man." Maybe for some of you, what picture pops in your mind when you think of who the man is? Maybe it's, is it Captain America? Steve Rogers? No. Okay, you're like, not Captain America. Thor? Moving on. Denzel Washington. Can I get an amen? Right? I mean, the man on fire, Denzel Washington. Or John Wayne, right? Yeah, talk, you know, just got to lower my voice being around a picture of John Wayne a little bit, you know. Well, what's the picture of the man? Now, maybe some of you have something in your mind's eye, and it's more along with what Hollywood and Nashville tell us is the man, what the man is all about. For some of us guys, I think we kind of strive to be like that ideal picture of the man. Maybe it's why we do a bunch of push-ups in the morning, and I don't know. We want to try to be something. We think, or we look up to guys who have that sort of persona. And maybe for women here in the house, you want a man like the man, or you want your man to be like that man. But what is God's picture of the man? I'm talking about the man who is satisfied, who has true happiness, who is blessed, who is fulfilled, who has a life of purpose. What does that man look like? In the Psalm of Ascent, Psalm 128, we get this full picture of God's portrayal of the man. Now, Psalm 128 is in a sequence of psalms. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are these songs of ascent. So what does that mean? Well, those who followed Yahweh many, many years ago, the one true and living God, they would sing these songs as they made their annual pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. Now, they may have been coming from the north or Galilee and down to Jerusalem geographically, but they would always say it's up to Jerusalem because they were going topographically in elevation, they were going up, but it's also they were looking to Jerusalem, Mount Zion, to worship God. As families, they would make this long trek up to Jerusalem, and they would sing this song, Psalm 128, as they went. And as they went, picture this. They had their children in tow. Man would be leading his wife, his children, various belongings, maybe a few donkeys, and a tent on the back of the donkeys, and food for the journey, and water, and they'd be walking this way to focus their attention on their God. And when they would sing this song, they'd be walking up steps. I want you to stand with me now in honor of God's word. Psalm 128. And think of this. Maybe even close your eyes as you listen to Psalm 128, if that helps you concentrate. But think of this journey. Maybe you're on that kind of pilgrimage, and you're walking to worship God together. It says this: how happy, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His directions, in His paths. When you eat of the fruit of your labors, what you've worked so hard for, you will be blessed, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. You'll have peace. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within the rooms of your house. Your children like young olive saplings around your table. Behold, look, this is the man who's blessed, who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. You may be seated. Psalm 128 gives us two steps of the man that God calls blessed, the man that God calls truly happy. See, the Bible uses a word for happy, but it often is translated as blessed, which is actually most often in its plural form in the Bible, which we could literally translate it happinesses, a life full of happinesses, truly heart, soul, gladness, happiness in God. And in Psalm 128, it gives us these two steps of the blessed, happy man of God. And then the blessing gifts that come from those two steps that spread across everything that matters. I'm going to prove that to you. Everything that matters. Hear that clearly. When you follow these two steps of the person, and this will apply to all the women in the house as well, young and old alike, for the call is everyone. But in Psalm 128, God's word lifts up this man, the leader of the household, as representative of the one who walks in these steps and the blessing gifts of God that spread across everything that matters in life. Everything that matters in life. The blessed man, the man blessed, happy in God, what is the first thing that he does? He bows under God's authority. That's point number one. The blessed, happy man bows under God's authority. The picture is simply this, that it says, who fears the Lord, that is to live in reverential awe, to do homage to God as king. He's the ruler. He's in charge. You're not. It means that you're not the sole authority of your life. It means that I'm not the sole authority of my life. It means God is the one who I bow to. I submit under God. We have a motto that's used around our country, right? Under God. Part of our Pledge of Allegiance. Here's the man under God, under God's rule, under God's good rule, His benevolent rule, under His kingship, because He's a gracious and benevolent and loving master, and we willingly live in reverence to Him. It's not a fear like I'm scared of God because I'm going to be in right relationship with God when I put my faith in Him, and by God's grace in Jesus Christ, we don't live fearing that God's going to hit us on the head with a hammer, but it's this reality that God sees everything that you do. He knows every thought that you think. He knows every word that comes out of your mouth, and because of His grace, because of His goodness and of His blessing gifts, I'm going to willingly, happily, humbly submit to Him. Humbly submit to Him. Proverbs 12:15 and Proverbs 3:5-8. Proverbs 12:15 says, the fool is wise in his own eyes. I think I know everything. I don't need your advice. The fool is wise in his own eyes, but the wise man is he who listens to counsel. We must heed the whole counsel of God. That's wrapped up into these phrases, that to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then it continues, fear the Lord. Turn from evil, and it will be well with you. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. That's a picture of the happy, blessed man from Psalm 128. To fear the Lord is to live in reverential awe, bowed under his word, his way, his rule. That's the picture of happy, blessed man of God. To bow under God's authority, submit joyfully to his rule. Stephanie was driving through town this past week, and Hudson was in his back seat, and they drove past a police car who had pulled somebody over to give them a ticket, and suddenly Hudson shouted out, "Stop! Mom, stop! Stop!" "Why do you want me to stop, Hudson?" "Well, because I've never seen a person get a ticket before. I want to see what this looks like for somebody to get a ticket. Stop, Mom, stop." Of course, Stephanie didn't suddenly pull over nearby, right behind the police car, so that Hudson could see this person getting a ticket. But I remember when I was 18 or 20 years old when I got pulled over for the first time. Do you remember the first time you got pulled over? Some of you are saying, "I've never gotten pulled over in my life." Wow. I remember I got pulled over and lights flashing in my back window. My knees started shaking. My palms started sweating. My mind started racing. The police officer walked up, and I squeaked out, "Hello." It was a female police officer. And I suddenly realized that there was authority outside of myself. There was an authority bigger than Michael Bresnaw. And I wanted to be on the right side of that authority. I wanted to live according to that authority so that I didn't get a ticket, so that I didn't get in a car accident. You and I don't have the right to choose how fast we drive on any given roadway, do we? Unless you're driving through the two-lane highways of Montana where they say reasonable and prudent. I've been there. My truck only goes so fast. There's a reason why they have governors on trucks, because the mirrors start bending in, the windshield wipers start flapping, and the whole thing starts to feel like it's going to fall apart. But there are authorities placed by God to set about speed limits, to set about guardrails for society, for the praise of them who do well and the punishment of evildoers. God has his good and righteous authority that we don't need to be afraid of. We simply bow to, knowing that he's good. You want to live a blessed, happy life. The man blessed by God is the man bowed before God. Remember that. The man happy in God is the man bowed before God. Same for every woman as well. The woman blessed by God is the woman bowed before God. What's the second? Psalm 128. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Who walks in his ways. It's this, that if you want to walk in the joyful gladness of right and good and worshipful relationship with God, then we walk with God's directions. Now picture again the Song of Ascent scene. Here are these families journeying up to Jerusalem. They're walking. And so all throughout the Old and New Testaments, the biblical writers were inspired to use these words for walking, for traversing, because it pictures the circumference of life, doesn't it? When we're walking about. The word in the Greek for walking in the Spirit is peripateo, to walk about. The manner of your life, we get words like perimeter from that. We're walking around, we're walking according to, we're walking with God's directions. To walk in his ways, to walk in his truth. The problem is, men don't really like following directions, do we? I can say that because I'm one of them. We don't really like following directions. If we get lost, like women joke about us, guys. They do. Men never ask for directions. I just go into the gas station and ask. But my husband never will stop. He'll just keep driving. I've told you stories about my own problem with this, haven't I? Right? We don't like asking for directions, and we really don't like following directions or instruction manuals when it's from IKEA. Why? Because we can say then to our wives, you know, honey, I built that desk. I did. I didn't even have to look at the directions. I know it took me 8.5 hours and all day Saturday to build that desk, and only it should have taken 1 hour, but I didn't have to look at the directions. I'm like, okay, honey. God has given us a set of directions, instructions to follow. We have to relinquish our pride to follow God's ways. Acknowledge the Lord in everything means that I'm in every step I'm going to take in my life, I'm going to be requesting guidance of God. I'm going to be looking to God's word for what he has to say. I'm going to be measuring up whether the alignment of my life lines up with God's instructions. My question for you and for myself is this: does the direction of your life align with God's instructions or not? Or have you tossed out the manual? Or do you only glance at it, maybe on Sunday morning? Do I only glance at it once in a while when I'm caught in a problem or in a crisis? No, every part. I'm going to walk with God's directions. I use that phrase "with" in my second point because it means I'm always carrying it around. I'm always carrying it around. Maybe people should joke about you because you're always carrying your Bible. That's okay. We need to be men of the book, men. Not men of money, not men of power, not men of pride, men of the book. Can I get an amen? Because we need to walk with God's directions. That's the happy man. That's the man. Let me tell you, men, if you want your wife to look up to you, to follow you with gladness of heart, be a man of the book. She'll go, wow, he's in the word. He's following God's instructions. He's praying for guidance. I want to follow him. I want to, yes. Young men, if you're not married yet, or older man, if you're not married, and you want to be a man of the book. I'm telling you. Your life is never directionless. Life is never directionless. You're always moving in a direction, either further away from God, from truth, and from your family, and what matters most, or you're moving closer to God and his truth and your family. Is your life aligned with God's direction or not? Where are you walking with your life? Are you walking in his ways or are you walking in your way? What seems good to a man or what is pleasing to God? Happy is the man who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. What's going to happen? Well, here this psalm makes a shift. It talks about the blessing gifts then. For this happy man, the picture of the man who has these happinesses, what's going to happen? What are the blessing gifts that spread across everything that matter? The first thing that happens is that it impacts your personal life, your work. Does that matter to all the guys in the house? Your work, yeah? Yes? Yes, good. Your work should matter. It matters to God. All your work matters to God. And it can be, all your work can be done as worship to God if it's done for God's glory and the good of others. Everything. I'm talking about every seemingly mundane, seemingly meaningless task can be done to the glory of God. And you can find joy in your work if it's done for God's glory because Christ is the true master over all your work. No matter how rotten your boss might be, no matter how profane your supervisor might be, no matter how troublesome your coworkers might seem, if you are working in that task to the glory of Jesus Christ, your Savior, it can be done for good. It can be done for his glory, and you can find joy in it. That's what this next verse is talking about. That when you work with your hands, when you eat of the fruit of your labor, it means what you've worked so hard for, you will be happy. You will be blessed. It will be well with you, peaceful, enjoyed. Why? Because it was received through honest labor, honest and honest work, integrity. You haven't worked out these schemes out of greediness or sly gain to try to earn money in some conniving way. You haven't stolen it. You've worked for what you have. And you know what this feels like? When you've worked honestly for what you have, when you work outside, maybe the sweat of your hands, the sweat of your brow, the calluses on your heels and on your hands, and you can sleep well at night, and the food that you've earned. And I love, because this is obviously resonating with all the men in the house. It talks about food. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, they say. But when you're working for God and you're bowed under his authority and you are walking with his directions, all your work can be satisfying. Have you experienced that? Can be totally satisfying. And you can eat food that you've worked for, knowing it's given by God's blessing, by his gift, and you can enjoy it, and you can go to sleep and sleep well. You can sleep well. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man is he who listens to counsel, to walk with God's directions. So that's the first blessing gift of God, that it's personal, it impacts your work, even your food. Look with me again, Psalm 128, the second blessing gift that flows from God's good hand is that it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. This is a picture, now, this is everything that matters, your work, now your home, your wife. And the way to translate this roughly in the Hebrew would be, in the inner rooms of your house. There's a picture in the Proverbs of a wife who never stays at home. If you've studied the Proverbs, you know what I'm talking about here. She's always running out because she's not faithful to her husband. But this wife, the one of the happy, blessed man, he is blessed with this wife who is growing, who is fruitful in her relationship with God and her relationship with her husband, and she's prospering in the home. That doesn't mean that women can't work outside the home. Don't mishear me here, okay? But what I'm saying is that God's blessing is upon the man who is under God's authority and who's walking with God's directions, and when his wife is in the house, she is growing, flourishing in her relationship with God. Fruitful vine brings up also of the grapevine, and that she's going to bear children. It's clearly in the picture here. Now, I know some of you have faced infertility, loss, miscarriage. Maybe you have no children. You've always wanted children of your own. There's other Bible passages that talk about Proverbs 31, for example, how a woman can be fully serving God in different capacities. If you don't have a child of your own, that doesn't mean that God hasn't blessed you and that you can't serve God. But the happy man, here's the picture, think of this. His wife will be like a fruitful vine within his house. Notice that your hands that have worked, food that you now enjoy, then your wife in your house and your children. There's the second. This is home. Blessing moves from personal to familial. Your children will be like olive saplings around your table. Young olive trees, they begin with a tiny little seed, right? And they can grow into one of the most robust, strong, sustainable, long-lasting out of any plant. Young olive saplings around your table, God's giving to this man children who are growing. Now listen, if you are nourishing your heart in God's word, then you can give the proper nutrients to your wife and your children. But if you aren't nourishing your heart with God's word and you aren't walking in God's word, then you won't be able to give the proper nutrients to your wife and to your children. That's why it all begins. It's all hinging on this man is bowing before God's authority, walking with his directions, you see, that flows from that. A man who's disregarded God's word, who isn't walking with integrity, who is arrogant, who is wise only in his own eyes and doesn't fear the Lord, tosses out God's directions, My question for you is, here's the indicator often of a man's spiritual life. Is your wife wilting or blossoming? Think about it. Is your wife wilting or blossoming? Are your children growing in God, or are they looking for leadership? Are they withering under your leadership? This picture of plant life is so vivid here in verses 3 and 4. Is your wife wilting, blossoming? Are your children withering, or are they growing? Thus shall the man be blessed. This is how it is. This is the pinnacle, the central point of this psalm is right in the middle. Behold, look with me. If you even want to look back in your own text. Verse 4, behold, look, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord, who's under his righteous rule. My dad, Chuck Bresnaw, who's not here this morning, or else I would embarrass him too much. He's out in Wyoming with my younger brother and his wife and their little baby girl. Well, my dad, he's never been the man according to the world's eyes. You know? He's never made lots and lots of money. He's never had been well known. He's never had a muscle car. I mean, nothing wrong with muscle cars, but he's never had one. He's never been out of shape. He's not weak, but he's never had chiseled abs. He's never had huge biceps. But there's one thing that my dad has been always: consistent. He's been consistent in his love and his faithfulness toward my mother. He has been consistent in the Word of God, always studying it every single day of my life. I can say that without a shadow of a doubt, men. He has been totally devoted in prayer every single day of my life. He has rarely raised his voice to anyone. He has never raised his hand toward my mother. Not a single time ever had a passing thought that my dad would ever raise his hand against my mother. Never abusive, always consistent in his walk with the Lord, faithful to serve, a man of quiet, servant-heartedness. He wrote me a letter 12 years ago, just a couple days before Father's Day, on the day that actually turned out to be our anniversary. June 14th, 2007. This might seem like a strange subject since you are not a father yet. He entitled this Happy Father's Day, and I wasn't married yet. You're not a father yet, but I thought I would write you this short message in anticipation of your being a father someday. First, I don't think any man could ask for better kids than the three of you that God has blessed me with. Yes, we have had a struggle, but tribulation worketh patience. And many times you kids are actually mirroring problems I as a father needed to face in my own life, but didn't want to. However, you kids were willing to bring them to me face to face. One big problem in society today is the unwillingness of fathers to face their kids, recognize the problems as their own, and instead busy themselves with other problems that are in the end of meaningless insignificance. The second thing as a father, as I remember telling Mom, you are all a gift from God. We didn't know how long you would be with us or us with you. I thank God for each day he has given us together on this earth. The third thing as a father I remember is when people asked me what my ministry was, I would simply tell them to raise a godly seed. That usually ended the conversation rather quickly. And I suspect it was because I didn't have a greater plan for my own significance. The last thing is to wish you a happy Father's Day, because there are a lot of kids out there who don't have fathers. Biological, yes, but real fathers who want to give of themselves are lacking. And there are a lot of kids who just want a father for Father's Day. And even though you aren't a real father yet, I know you could be a father to one of those kids. Love, Dad. When I juxtapose my own life with my dad's, the inconsistencies are glaring. Not because my dad is especially godly, but because he's so much like his Savior, Jesus Christ. Are your children withering under your leadership or growing under your servant leadership? Is your wife wilting or blossoming? Look, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord, who bows under God's authority, who walks with God's directions, not his own, God's directions, in hand. The blessing gifts of God that spread across everything that matter, personal, familial, national. Look at this. From your work to your home, and you're expecting me to say your country, but it's actually your future. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord, it shifts to a prayer here. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And this was a prayer for these blessing gifts to be poured out on the man who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. But how can New Testament believers receive blessing from Zion? Here it is. Because we know that by grace in Jesus Christ, when we receive new life from above, that we've been born again from above, that we are recipients of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, we are bought, sealed, secured until the final day of redemption, we have hope of eternal life forever with God, that we will be in the millennial kingdom of our God and Savior Jesus Christ when he returns, and he will sit where? On the throne. In Zion, and he will rule with justice and righteousness. So we can look forward. This is a messianic expectation at the close of this song, that we can pray still, peace be upon Israel. We can pray, the Lord bless you from Zion, because if you walk with God and you're in right relationship with God, you will experience the blessings promised to all in Jesus Christ when he sits on the throne of David as the fulfillment of God's covenant with David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God said to David that you will have an heir forever on your throne, and we know that Jesus Christ is the true and better David. He's the one who will sit in perfect righteousness, the holy prophet, priest, and king, and we will be under his rule. Will that be the day? Some of you, I hope I didn't lose you there. That's important. Blessed from Zion in Jesus Christ. Blessed from Zion because of God's grace that we can pray, oh Lord God, may I walk in this way. May I walk with your directions. I want to see my grandchildren flourish in the gospel. I want to see my children's children come to walk and fear you as well. To live with joy in God. So men and women of God, God calls us to look at the man, the happy, blessed man. You know, here's a picture of my dad and I. I was probably just about a year older than Carson at that point, celebrating birthday in Bill Knapp's. Remember when they used to give away birthday cakes at Bill Knapp's? You can't find that thick chocolate cake anymore like that. My dad was probably about my age. We don't look alike at all. And there are my parents today. He's the man. He's the man. He's the man. Not Thor, Captain America, Denzel Washington. I mean, those guys are all cool. John Wayne, right? He's the man in my book. When I think of Psalm 128, I think of a man who's bowed under God's authority and is walking with God's directions. And experiences the blessing gifts of God personally, familially, nationally, by God's grace. Just as the psalm ends, would you pray with me? It ends in a prayer. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and pray. Oh, Father God, we know that it is impossible in ourselves, in our own strength, to please God. but by your grace, you have beckoned us, invited us into relationship with you through the King who came, Jesus, and the King who's coming, Jesus, who's going to rule from Zion, who we will submit to, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, our Father. And Lord, we pray that as men in the house, that we would live bowed right now and every day to the King, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful to our wives, that we'd be faithful to our children, that they won't wilt or wither, but blossom and flourish, thrive in the gospel of God. Lord, I pray that you'd form us as a church to be a people who are happy in you and experience that happiness across everything that matters, to serve the King whose kingdom is not of this world, but whose kingdom is coming and who will rule the world one day soon. In Jesus' name I pray.